I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts. And this is our second podcast this week. We did pretty much our regular thing yesterday. Meg, our intern, subbed for Trevor, who's not feeling well this week. So have two podcasts ready to go this week. So really excited for this one because it, for one reason, it ties into a new album that's coming out today. But also just one of my favorite acts of all time. It's Mary Chapin Carpenter here on the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. If you're a country music fan, you know how big she's been over the years on the country charts. Chart-wise, 28 Hot Country Songs hits, 9 top 10s, 1 number 1, Shut Up and Kiss Me, in 1994. And it's actually same a number of top 10s on our top country albums chart, 9 top 10s, 1 number 1. This decade, she's segued a little bit more away from country, and she's had huge success on our Americana folk albums chart, 4 top 10s this decade, including a number 1. So 30 years into her career, she just continues to have chart hits and just be a vital singer-songwriter in the folk Americana country world. So I don't think I gush too much. Maybe I do. I feel like I probably do. But you'll hear Mary Chapin Carpenter seems really excited to talk about her time 30 years looking back. And she kind of says she never really looked back before and realized, wow, it's been 30 years. But her influence has just been so great. Grammy Award. She won Grammy Awards in 4 straight years in the 90s when women were such a force on the country charts in the early and mid 90s. Sort of an aberration when you look at country chart history. So she talks about that, too. And her new album, again, Sometimes Just the Sky, it's out today, reworks some of her songs from her catalog. And as she'll say, it kind of wasn't the plan to put this out, but it came together so well that we got a new album from Mary Chapin Carpenter. Again, that's out today. So we're going to talk about the new album, some of her biggest hits, maybe in some ways her biggest album from 1992, Come On, Come On, and interesting backstory about that coming up. So me, super fan, and Mary Chapin Carpenter on the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Mary Chapin Carpenter, welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast.
Thank you, Gary.
It's an honor to have you on. I can ask you so many different things about your new album, Sometimes Just the Sky, and just your career as well. But I just wanted to ask you, you told Billboard earlier this year, a month or so ago, you did an interview with us where you look back 30 years, you've been recording, and you said you're still amazed by that. You think maybe at this time you're used to it, but you said still surprises me.
It's just hard to wrap my brain around all those years that they, you know, that it really has been that many years. And I mean, I what goes along with that, of course, is just tremendous appreciation and you know, gratitude that I'm still able to be out here in the world and play music and touring and writing songs and so forth. But it's, you know, it's just when you stop and you consider the passage of time, it becomes a very existential thing. And it's just hard to sort of, you know, think of it as just this block of time that's just gone so quickly. Right. That's how it feels.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you not really stopped at any point during your career and look back? Was this doing this new album 30 years? This has been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's up until now, I have not sort of done any projects or thought about, you know, sort of, you know, putting a stake in the ground and saying, here's an anniversary or here's an opportunity to do a greatest hits or, you know what I mean? I never have really sort of stopped to consider those sort of markers of time.
Well, I got to say, you got me into country / folk music around 1990. It was for me, it was You Win Again, your hit that year.
You're kidding me.
It just opened up a whole new world for me as a pop fan as a teen. Suddenly I heard the song that just it was so much more organic and the lyrics were just deeper than other music I'd heard. And John Jennings, amazing production, your sense of melody. I'll gush a little bit. You're still the benchmark, you know, for pop folk sound for any act that comes along since.
Wow. Well, that's very kind of you to say that. And that song, that I haven't thought of that song for quite a while too. So, oh my gosh. So, and my dear beloved friend, John, he passed away a few years ago, and I don't think I'll ever stop missing him. Miss him every day, you know? So, but I, boy, you know, it's life's crazy. So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you too. First time I saw you in concert, I don't know if you remember that song, but you remember the show was Brown University, 1992, and Lisa Loeb was the opening act. This is 2 years before Stay came along.
Oh yeah, what do they have? Like every year, they have a spring concert series, or you know, it's like a there's a name for it at Brown. I can't remember what it is, but I remember, you know, when I was there as a student, Bonnie Raitt came and played on the athletic fields, and it was so much fun, and it was so great. And to go back after so many years and sort of, you know, play in that slot. And I think it was in the hockey rink though, because it was pouring rain.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah,
yeah, it was. It was not outside, unfortunately. So the spring part of it was sort of in name only.
Right. So the new album, so everybody knows that's out March 30th, Sometimes Just the Sky is the title. So it reworks album cuts, not necessarily obvious hit singles, but one from each of your studio albums along with a new title cut. How'd you get the idea, Mary Chapin, for this album and the idea to reimagine these songs? I think you've said that you didn't want to pick the obvious hit singles. You wanted to take some deeper cuts and kind of make it new for you and for fans as well.
Yeah. Well, you've pretty much summed it up. It was last year or the beginning of last year that the idea, I was talking to my manager and we were sort of throwing ideas around. This was the first, you know, someone actually on, this is so 2018, but someone on Twitter had made the point of saying it's been 30 years since, my first record. And that was the first time that I, you know, thought about it. And, so we were thinking, you know, well, here's a chance to maybe, you know, record something and just, you know, release it as a, you know, one-off kind of thing, maybe an album of covers or maybe, some outtakes or, you know, just something to sort of, acknowledge the 30-year anniversary of making records. And Chris, my manager, I think it was his idea to say, well, why don't we take some, you know, one song from every album and re-record it and then put one new song on there. And just, you know, like, again, very sort of casually release it. And we were going to, it was going to come out last summer. And so what ended up happening is I was fortunate enough to work with Ethan Johns, and I went over to England and worked at the wonderful Real World Studios, Peter Gabriel's amazing compound. And very quickly, after a few songs, we all felt that it was not as casual a project as I think we expected it to be. It just, and that was a testament to, you know, Ethan's production mind and the wonderful players that he gathered as well. And every song was taking on a really different kind of feeling, and just, it was just very different from everything I had done previously. And we decided that actually we wanted to release it sort of as a new record and sort of give it the time to be set up that way and promoted that way, because it did feel so sort of different from the original recordings, and it had its own sort of life. And so that's sort of how it ended up in the form that it is now, and why it took a little longer to put it out.
Right. Here's a two-part question. Did you want to change any lyrics to any of these songs, or did you look back and say, you know what, these are pretty good. I wrote some good songs.
No, I'm so glad you asked that question. I did change some lyrics. Nothing that I think would alter someone's understanding or sense of what the song was saying or whatever, but it, I'm trying to think of an example really quick. In Heroes and Heroines, there's a line, I think it's in the second verse. The original line was, "Ladies and their men get by on six guns and white lightning." And I think I sang it in the new record, "Women and their men get by." Now, why I sang it that way, I don't know, but I was just, you know, I wasn't strictly reading my lyric sheet or whatever. It just kind of happened that way.
Right.
And it felt totally fine to keep it, you know? So there are little tiny sort of switches in a couple of different places. But nothing that, again, would, I think, truly change the essence of the song.
This shirt is old and faded, all the colors washed away. I've had it now for more damn years than I can count anyway. I wear it beneath my jacket with the collar turned up high.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So old I should replace it, but I'm not about to try.
All right, here's part two. Here's partly why I asked that question. This shirt, which is such a classic of yours, that line, the lyric where this shirt is where your cat decided to give birth to five, and we wept when the last one died. So you had your chance to not make that so heartbreaking. That last kitten could have made it this
God.
Time.
But then I would be changing. I'd be rewriting history
because
that was a true story.
I was going to ask you, is that song based on? Is it entirely true or mostly true?
Entirely true.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think I mean, I say that if only I, or I illustrate that, I think, because I don't think I would have, like, come up with the, I don't think if it hadn't happened, I would have come up with the image of a cat giving birth on my shirt.
Right.
every once in a while, I'll play that song. Well, not every once in a while. It happens quite often. I can hear some sort of gentle laughter in the audience. In other words, they perhaps haven't heard the song before. And then they're sort of surprised and kind of amused by that. It sort of sounds comical or sweet or something like that.
Right.
And there's a sort of gentle laughter. And again, I just don't think I would have, that wouldn't have been what I, if I was trying to make it up, I don't think that's what I would have made up, you know, so it did happen.
Yeah. No, that's one of your all-time classics. The new title cut is a great new song as well. I really love how it's about 4 minutes. It's 4 minutes of a really gentle folk song, and it's got a really cool coda where for the last 2 minutes it just moves into a more up-tempo rockier direction. It's just a great new song.
We didn't want to stop. We were enjoying ourselves.
Right.
Do you have any favorite songs from your career, hits or deep album cuts, just overall, just looking back at these 30 years?
Well, that's a good question from the standpoint of, so there's a song on the new record called Superman, and that song was a B-side. Back in the day when singles were put out, at least my singles were put out, and it had B-sides.
Right.
So that was an extra track that didn't make the record, but I always loved that song, and it always was a disappointment to me that it didn't make the record. And I don't even remember what the reasons were, other than probably I had too many songs, which is sort of what usually happens. And so that's a song that I've always loved, and I've always wanted it to be on an album. And so this was my chance, you know. To do that. And the thing about this record, to me, this is how I feel about it, is that while these songs all, you know, they span 30 years of making records, you know, from the beginning to the present, I would like to believe that if someone wasn't familiar with all of that music and they encountered this new record, that the songs do connect to one another. They don't feel like these, you know, disparate pieces from different lives. You know, they do all sort of thematically connect to each other. And that wasn't on purpose, but that's sort of what mystically, magically happens somehow. And they feel like they all belong together to me on this album.
Yeah, it's kind of what you were saying. It started out as just we'll put out some single songs, and all of a sudden you realize mm-hmm. Is that kind of what happens when you go to make an album? It just sort of takes on its own life and maybe becomes something different than you might have expected.
Yeah, it does. Or what it's always felt like to me when I sort of reach a point in my writing where I feel like I'm ready to take all of these songs that I've been working on for the last, let's say, 3 years, and I'm ready to go into the studio and so here we go, and we go into the studio, and somehow over the course of those sessions, it always seems to happen where all these songs, they seem to all of a sudden magically, or again, sort of mysteriously, like a sort of thematically, it starts to reveal itself as a whole, and they do all feel connected. But I wouldn't necessarily know or feel that way on that first day walking in.
Right.
But by the end, they do feel stitched together, and they do seem to support each other. That's how it feels. It's a magical sort of process to me. That's why I love recording so much.
She's 33 this time around. She's always been real good at listening. Her sense of humor never lets her down. Except sometimes there's something missing. Hey, middle ground, a place.
just want to ask you a few more questions.
Sure.
I already jogged your memory, but you win again, maybe, this shirt. is Middle Ground one of your favorite songs? 1990, 91?
Okay. I'm going to tell you something that's so silly, but, well, I mean, it's not like I'm going to say, no, I don't like that song anymore. I mean, it came out of some, you know, came out of some sort of thought and idea and real life kind of feelings. But it was this time, I think this is so crazy, but I remember I went on a date with a fellow and it was right around after, it was sometime soon after that, the album came out that song was on.
Right.
And I remember sitting, we were at a bar in Washington, D.C., and I don't know what I said, but the next thing that happened is he turned around and he started quoting lyrics from Middle Ground to me that I don't know. I remember if I had it in front of me, I could probably pick out which ones they were. But it was so like, ew, don't do this. Gross. Ugh, I can't get away from you fast enough. Ah. And it was like, no, don't do that. You know, don't. Oh, I don't know how to explain it, but I was creeped out by it. That I think it sort of wrecked me on that song. So, isn't that terrible?
So it was just too weird. Someone trying to date you and you just.
Yeah, or something. Or it's like he was trying to sort of like. What was this lyric? Shoot. I don't know. It was like one of the lyrics about, you know, she's alone or something like this. And he was quoting about like, honey, just stick with me and I'll fix it for you or something. I don't know. It was kind of like that. It was like it wasn't to impress me that he knew the song. It was more like he was sort of saying, I have insight into you, you know? And I was like, gross. No, you don't. Bye-bye.
Well, that's going to be weird if you're an artist and you're dating someone.
Weird.
That's
going to
be
so
strange dynamic.
It was totally weird and I was horrified. Needless to say, we didn't go out again.
For 15 years she had a job and not one raise in pay. Now she's in the typing pool at minimum wage.
That was when you started a run of winning Grammy Awards in four straight years, 92 to 95.
Oh,
and yeah, and you and other women were completely dominating country music at that time. Trisha Yearwood, Patti Loveless, Winona, so many others. You know, you look at the history of country and it's just at this point, it really stands out the 90s as an anomaly. Mm. And then you had Shania Twain and Dixie Chicks selling huge numbers by the end of the decade. But were you and maybe some of the other women artists in that specific period, were you conscious that women were doing so well and really hadn't been done that before? And you know, given the context of what's going on now, did you feel certain barriers that you were facing that maybe male artists never did?
I never sort of, as it was happening, I don't think I had a notion of, oh, this is a breakthrough or this is a particularly powerful chapter for women in music. I wasn't a scholar of the charts or the history of you know, the genre. So it wasn't something that I think I was particularly aware of. That said, you know, the comment that the gentleman, the Grammys, made this year about women needing to step up or something like that.
Yeah.
That was laughable to me. You know, I just found that to be so difficult to understand that that was his sort of take on it. And I realize that he's tried to walk it back, but, you know, I don't think it was the right response.
Well, your song, he thinks he'll keep her. I feel like it was groundbreaking at the time, and maybe now it resonates even more to have a song that was just so women are going to say, yeah, we're going to say what we're thinking. And for that song to become a hit then always kind of stood out. And now I just feel like it maybe has a whole different light.
The sort of the anecdote for that song, which I, co-wrote with Don Schlitz, wonderful songwriter. Right. I submitted it. Submitted the whole record to the record label. That's another story in and of itself, but the response to He Thinks He'll Keep Her from the promotion department for radio is they weren't keen to release it or to push it. They didn't feel like it had a good chance because they felt that it was a man bashing song.
Yeah.
And that was a quote, a man bashing song. And Schlitz and I always were like, what? That's so not where we're coming from. And I could tell you however many gazillions of, young men and fellows that I would hear from who'd say, I realize that the protagonist of that song is a woman, but that speaks to my life as well.
Right.
It's about relationships. It's about, being taken for granted, whoever you are. And needless to say, thankfully, radio didn't think of it as a man bashing song in it. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it was the sixth single, which always surprised me. Obviously, the first five were great too, but I'm like, how did this wait to be the sixth single?
That was the other story I was going to ever so briefly touch on. And that is when I submitted the song, the album to that, to the record label, I remember being at dinner with the heads of the label and they said, well, we've got a problem. And then I said, what's that? And they go, we don't hear any singles on this record. And I remember wanting to slide underneath the table and disappear. But I couldn't believe it. I was just astonished. And thankfully, that isn't what happened. But that's what their first response was. And thankfully, we had some wonderful, supportive people within the label who felt differently and worked their butts off to make sure the songs were heard. And so that record ended up being 5 times platinum. So
right, it had just so those record people know it, wound up with 7 top 20 singles on our Hot Country Songs chart.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So they didn't hear a song like Passionate Kisses or I Feel
nope.
Lucky. That's crazy.
Nope. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Well, it's like I think it happens in certain sort of insular places where you're afraid to like something unless you see someone else like it first. And, or you just feel like you're walking a tightrope and it's hard to feel like there's net beneath you. And I understand that. But that's why it was great that, some other people took different positions and, I always felt like my relationship with the record company was, it's like a marriage. You find ways to work together and find compromises and it's important for both parties to feel like you're doing right by each other. And that's how I always felt about my relationship with Columbia. And I'll never forget how wonderful it was. It was great.
Yeah. I feel like in 2004, when you released the Between Here and Gone album, it kind of marks the point where you went in a more all-out folky, less country direction. Was that a conscious choice? Was it just where your music was going, just as you wrote it, just happened?
It's just those. That's where the songs were going. That's where I was going, and I don't really think of it as folky so much as just I didn't feel. I just wasn't. I don't know how to explain it. It's just sort of. It was this organic direction. It wasn't. And again, for me, it didn't feel as if I was all of a sudden turning right or turning left or, going some different direction. I was just going where it felt natural to go. And, that's how I landed to where I am now, where I am now. But it wasn't a conscious thing. It just felt authentic.
Right. What music do you listen to now, Mary Chapin? What are some of your favorite current acts?
Oh my gosh, I listen to a lot of classical music. Actually, a lot of choral music. That's my favorite. I don't know. Gosh, I like, there's certain singer songwriters that I just revere. People like Gregory Alan Isakoff and, gosh, you know, people like, that I'll always revere, like Randy Newman, and just, you know, rock and roll and bluegrass, Celtic music, a lot of traditional music, just lots of stuff.
Mary Chip, and this is just an absolute thrill to have you on the podcast. The new album, again, Sometimes Just the Sky, latest in just an incredible career of music. And as you said, even for fans who might know these songs originally, it's almost like they're new this time around. So it's kind of like we're getting a new album. And I think you told Billboard earlier this year, you're already writing new songs. So album of new material is on the way too, right?
That's right. That's right. Gary, thanks so much for talking to me.
All right. Mary Chapin, thank you so much. Best of luck with the new album.
It's a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Sometimes everything at once, but sometimes just the sky. Sometimes just the sky.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.